In the last video, we talked about the different breathing exercises that you can use and how anxiety plays out in your body, how to reduce that. In this video, we're going to talk about how you train yourself to use those breathing exercises more effectively. Because it's a really common scenario for me to see in my therapy practice here where someone comes in and says, oh, deep breathing, I've tried that. It doesn't work for me. It doesn't help my anxiety. And what they mean is that they were out in public and they were in a situation that generated a lot of anxiety. And they said, okay, what am I supposed to do here? I think I'm supposed to deep breathe. Okay. Oh God, it's not working. And then they sort of work themselves into a panic attack by freaking out about the fact that they're not able to calm down. It's a very common scenario. And that's because they were trying to use this tool that they had not trained themselves to use yet. And that's really how I want you to think about your breathing. I want you to think of it as a skill or as a tool. Something that you wouldn't use if you didn't train it. And that's the case here. So just like if you were an Olympic gymnast or a skateboarder or something like that, you wouldn't learn a trick and then try to pull it off when you're under pressure, right? You would train the heck out of it. Let's say you were a skateboarder and you learned a new trick and you said, okay, I want to pull this off at the X Games, which is the big televised tournament. You wouldn't try it again for the second time at that tournament, right? You wouldn't do it at the X Games when there are the cameras and the crowd and the lights and the pressure's on. Of course not, because you would mess it up. You would go and you would try it and you would fall on your ass and make a fool of yourself. That would never happen though. You would drill the heck out of it. You would practice that skill over and over and over again. You'd do it into the foam pit until you felt like you got it down. Then you would do it on hard ground over and over and over until you got it so that it was second nature. That's what we want to do here. We want to train yourself to use these breathing exercises as a tool, as a skill, so that you can rely on them when you're in situations that are like the X Games, when you're out there in a social situation, or you're in your office at work, or you're in school, or you're driving, whatever the scenario that is that you need help in, you want to train it so that you can rely on it during those situations instead of just hoping that it works. One of the most important distinctions I want to make here is between training and execution. So for training, you're going to be doing breathing exercises without the intention of calming yourself down under stress. That may be a happy side effect. Maybe as you're practicing, it does help you feel more calm, and that's good. That's what you want to be working toward. But you're not going to be executing that every single time. The goal is to practice so much, though, that you can execute when you need to. When you're in that situation where you need the help of that relaxation, you're going to be able to execute that. As humans, we're really great at associating things. We've already talked a little bit about this, but we're good at associating things together, taking one thing, taking another, and grouping them together in our mind. For instance, when you hear a police siren, what does that make you feel like? Probably not super calm, right? Or if you're like me and you've been pulled over before, it might make you feel a little agitated, worked up, a little paranoid. So you have an association between that sound of the siren and the experience that you've had before with it. Now, one mistake that people make often is that they only practice deep breathing when they're in periods of stress. They only practice deep breathing when they're already feeling anxious. When you do that, when that's the only time that you practice deep breathing, you can form an association between the feeling of anxiety and the feeling of deep breathing. And that's counterproductive, right? You say, oh, I'm taking deep breaths. That must mean that I'm trying to get over anxiety. And then that makes you feel anxious. Instead, what you want to do is you want to train yourself to use your breath and do that during times when you're not stressed. So times when you're at relative ease, so maybe when you're at home or you're in a more relaxing environment, you can still feel some degree of stress, you can still be anxious, but it's not those high periods of anxiety that you have. It's in a situation where you're more calm. That's when you want to be practicing these breathing exercises, because that's going to help you build an association between these breathing exercises and that feeling of calm, that feeling of relaxation, that feeling of relative non-stress. So that's the association that you want to make instead of associating it with the feeling of stress. Over time, with repetition, as you're doing these breathing exercises on your own in your period of non-stress, it's going to be like learning an instrument or learning how to drive. At first, it's very rote and you have to do each step individually and it doesn't feel fully integrated. It feels weird. As you go on, though, it's going to become more like muscle memory and you're going to learn what it feels like to kind of initiate that cascade of relaxation that happens in your body. And soon it'll be like flipping a switch. You're like, oh, okay, I know how to do this. This is a familiar process for me, so let's go ahead and do that. And you get the added benefit of having an association between these deep breathing exercises and the calm that you normally feel when you're at home practicing them. So you kind of get a double whammy there. You learn your body better, and you also get to exploit that association that you have with the calm. One way that you can take that association idea a little bit farther is actually by using a mantra. I use the word mantra very loosely here. There are lots of different types of mantras that you can use. If you practice something like transcendental meditation, which is a very particular form of meditation, they give you a specific phrase to use as your mantra. But a mantra is just something that you use to pair with that relaxation in the context that I'm talking about. It could be a word, it could be a sound, it could be something visual, or it could be something tactile, meaning having to do a touch. But it's something that you consistently pair with that breathing, with that relaxation, so that you can use that association a little more. For instance, maybe there's a certain word that you use. Maybe it's the word calm, or the word relax, or the word peace. And as you're doing your breath, like the breath counting, okay, calm, and you say that under your breath, or you say that internally to yourself. And you use that as a mantra over and over again as you're learning how to do these breathing exercises. And that helps you elevate that association so that when you use that word, it puts you back into that headspace that you were when you were learning how to calm your body down. It could also be visual. I had a person that I worked with prior who was a co-facilitator for an anxiety group that I was running in this healthcare setting that I used to work at. And she had a really awesome technique, which was she would imagine in her mind the word relaxation, but in big block letters, like 3D block letters. And she would imagine herself flying around those block letters, above, below, in between the different letters and things like that. And that was sort of her mantra. She would imagine herself doing that while she took those deep breaths. And that really helped her use that association to bring a profound sense of calm to herself. One cool kind of modern way to do this is to use an animated GIF or a app on your phone or some sort of visual representation of the breath. There's a really good one that I like, which is basically a triangle, and then it expands out to a square and a pentagon and further out, and it basically expands into a higher polygon and then back down, and it sort of expands and contracts like this, and it's very hypnotic to look at. You've probably seen it before online. It's just this animated GIF that goes around every so often. But in using something like that while you breathe, you can use that sort of as a visual mantra, where you pair the breathing exercises with that visual, and then over time you learn to associate that visual with the feeling of relaxation. And so it amplifies it, again, like I said. Now, a little bit less conventional of a thing to do would be to use a tactile mantra. I have one of my own that I'll share with you. It's one that I haven't been training very much recently, but it has to do with my ring. This is one that helped me out in times when I really needed to calm myself down. So around my licensure exam, for instance, I trained this skill heavily, or during my comprehensive exams in graduate school. And basically, again, you're just trying to pair two different things and associate them together. So for me, it was the process of spinning my ring, that feeling of the ring going around my finger. So I would initiate those deep breaths, I would do my favorite breathing exercise, and as I was doing that, I would spin my ring and I would feel the sensation of that kind of gliding across my finger there. And in time, I learned to associate this feeling with that feeling of calm that I got from the breathing exercises. And the reason I did this is this was a nervous fidget that I had. It was a nervous tick. And instead of making this something that was a nervous habit, I turned it into something that would help calm my nerves and relax me by training it in that way. So for you, this could be anything. For me, I'm using obviously my ring, but for you, maybe you have a coin in your pocket, or you have a certain stretching exercise that you like to do. Anything that you use to pair along with that relaxation just to amplify it a bit using that association. You could use visual, you could use verbal, or you can use tactile. You don't have to use any of these though. This is just something that you can use if you want to add that added layer of association to help bring things together for you. If you're doing just fine taking the deep breaths on your own, going through these breathing exercises, by all means, just stick with that. This is just another layer that you can add on top. Again, just playing around with these things and seeing what works for you. That's the biggest thing that we're taking away from all of this is you want to see how it works for you. Keep doing it or do it even more if it does work. And if it doesn't, try something different. Now, let's talk about the logistics. Technically, there's no such thing as too much practice when it comes to these breathing exercises. But of course, you're going to want some parameters to work within. So for right now, what I'd say is practice these breathing exercises, these deep breathing exercises, with the intention of learning what it feels like to calm your body down 3 times per week for at least 10 minutes. And again, you're doing these in places and times when you're not feeling excessively stressed. So at home, before you go to bed, or in the middle of the day when you have a break, in your car, anywhere that you feel less stressed and a little bit more safe so you can learn to associate those feelings with the relaxation process. But again, you want to do it 3 times a week for at least 10 minutes. If you do more, that's great, that's bonus, but try to do at least these 3 times for 10 minutes, and that's really going to help you start to get a hold on that relaxation response. Now, another good way to test out your skills and really prove to yourself that anxiety doesn't have control over you is to do something like a dress rehearsal. What I mean by that is expose yourself to the feelings of anxiety that you get physically, and then work yourself down a few notches and regain that control. One way that you can do this is by simulating a panic attack. I know that sounds kind of scary, but again, remember, a panic attack is not dangerous. In my office, sometimes we have people spin around in chairs, breathe through a straw, jump up and down and do jumping jacks, hyperventilate on purpose, and those increase the sensations that are associated with the panic attack. Those are the things you might feel in a fight or flight response. And then from there, you can practice that deep breathing and work yourself down. Basically, this is something called exposure, which we're going to talk more about in a future module, but it's giving yourself exposure to those internal sensations that come along with anxiety, but then teaching them, look, anxiety is not going to control me. What you want to do is you want to exert some control over your anxiety. One good way to do that is reducing it, but if you think about it, increasing your anxiety temporarily, sort of summoning it and telling it, come on, bring it on, that's another way of exerting control over your anxiety. Anxiety wants you to feel like you don't have any control over it, like it comes up out of nowhere, that you don't have any control over when it appears and when it disappears. So if you say, look, anxiety, you know, I summon you, come to the table and show me what you got, that's a way of kind of making it your bitch, saying like, look, I have control over you. You don't have control over the situation. I can bring you up and I can bring you back down. And that's a really great way of modulating that control and teaching yourself to feel better about having anxiety in the first place because you know you have some influence over it. So that's it for this lesson. Take a look at the stuff below this post. You're gonna see some of those anxiety gifts, some of those different apps, different things that might be useful to you in this process of training your breath. This one takes some work, and I do want you to try to work at it as best you can. The more you invest in this practice, the better off you're going to be when you need to rely on these skills out in the real world.